How to Recognize God's Voice by Rick Warren.
Don't believe everything you hear just because someone says it is a message from God. Test it first to see if it really is. When I get an idea in my mind, how do I know if it's from God? How do I know it's not my own desire or even a lie from Satan? The answer is clear in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. I must test it to find out. I want to share with you a few of the biblical ways to test an impression and find out whether it is from God or not. The first test is to ask the question, does it agree with the Bible? God will never contradict his written word. Luke chapter 21, verse 33 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. God's truth is consistent. He's not going to tell you one thing in the Bible and then tell you something different in an impression. And as Proverbs 12, verse 19 says, truth stands the test of time. How does this apply as a filter? For example, there are many verses in Proverbs that say God will bless your business if you have integrity and if you're honest and fair in all your business dealings. So if you get an idea that you could make more money and increase your profits by being dishonest, that idea is not from God. The vast majority of God's will for your life is in God's word. God's truth does not change. If you want to know God's voice, you need to read the Bible. You need to memorize it, study it, and meditate on it. The second test. In your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. God's purpose in your life is to make you like Jesus. He is the standard for your life and how you think, act, feel, and speak. That's why the second test to determining whether an impression is from God or not is to ask this question, does it make me more like Christ? God is never going to tell you something that would cause you to do something that's un-Christ-like. If it is not like Jesus, believe me, you didn't get the idea from God. What is Jesus like? James chapter 3, verse 14 through 17 gives us some specifics that are a good measure for testing an idea. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, such wisdom is of the devil. The wisdom that comes from God is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, impartial, and sincere. First of all, this passage tells us two things God's wisdom is not. It will not be motivated by bitter envy or selfish ambition. These verses instead give seven things to test if an idea that comes into your mind is from God. Is it pure? If any thought is impure, God didn't give it to you. Is it peace-loving? If the idea is from God, it will promote harmony and reconciliation, not conflict. Is it considerate? Any idea that would hurt or harm someone, even though it may benefit you, is not from God, because he cares about the effect it might have on others. Is it submissive? If you get an idea from God, you must be open to having it tested by other people, asking them what they think about it. If you're hesitant and don't feel like letting other people test the idea, then it didn't come from God, because it isn't leading you to submit to others' feedback. Is it full of mercy? An impression from God will make you more gracious and forgiving. It won't make you judgmental or critical. Is it impartial and sincere? When you get an idea that's from God, you don't use it to manipulate people to get your own way. Any idea that encourages these seven qualities in your life is an idea that will make you more like Christ. The third test. God's intent is that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. God is not meant for anyone to go through life alone. He made us to live in relationship with other people. So when it comes to hearing God's voice, you need to listen to the people around you. You need a small group to confirm whether what you sense God directing you to do is true or not. This is the third test question. Are there other people who can confirm what I believe God is saying to me? If God has genuinely spoken to you, he will confirm it through other mature believers. This idea that we have to do everything on our own is not God's. He wants you to share your idea with others for confirmation and listen to their feedback. The reason God tells us to get advice is because he wants to save us from a lot of things. As it says in Proverbs 11 verse 9, the wisdom of the righteous can save you. Advice from other mature believers can save you time wasted doing the wrong thing. It can save you from wasting money. It can save your reputation. It can save you from making mistakes. One of the main reasons people mess up their lives is that they have no godly friends to give them feedback. That is why it's so important to be in a group with fellow believers who can hold you accountable and give you advice. The Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. The fourth test. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The fourth test for confirming a word from God is to ask yourself, is it consistent with how God shaped me? A lot of people end up wasting millions of dollars going after pipe dreams, starting businesses, and making plans they weren't shaped to do. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 says, God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So ask yourself, what do I love to do that I'm good at doing? Note that I didn't just say, what do you love to do? Before I became a pastor, I was a worship leader. I played guitar and loved to sing, but nobody liked hearing me. So I learned pretty quickly that while I had a passion for music, I didn't have the talent for it. I loved it, but I wasn't good at it. You discover a lot of God's will simply by looking at what you are good at. The fifth test. We will all be judged one day, not by each other's standards or even our own, but by the judgment of God. It is to God alone that we shall have to answer for our actions. If something is not your responsibility, why should God talk to you about it? Wouldn't he just talk directly to the person it concerns? This is the fifth test to consider when you wonder if an idea or impression you have comes from God. Does it concern your responsibility? In John chapter 21, Jesus told Peter that he would die a martyr's death. Peter's response was to glance at John, who was standing nearby, and ask Jesus, Lord, what about him? Peter wasn't satisfied with God telling him what was going to happen in his life. He wanted to know about John's future as well. Jesus responded by saying, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. What is that to you? My wife Kay calls that the witty principle. We get ourselves in so much trouble when we start comparing ourselves to others. But when we do this, God says, what is that to you? He wants our focus to be following him, not worrying about other people. All believers have a direct line to God. Now, does God ever speak to others through another person? Of course, he does. But there are three guidelines you need to follow if you feel God is using you to speak to someone else. One, be patient and pray. Give God a chance to speak to that person directly. Two, God will typically use you to confirm in someone else's life what he's already told them. So when you share your words with someone, it won't be a big surprise. Three, God will usually use you without your being conscious of it. If God is going to speak through you to others, he will often do it in a way that you don't even realize it was God speaking through you, but the person on the receiving end will recognize its truth. The sixth test. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. When you get an idea and you're wondering if it is from God, the sixth question to ask yourself is it convicting or is it condemning? If it convicts, then it is from God. But if it condemns, then it is from Satan. A lot of Christians live under condemnation or constant guilt, and they think it is from God. It isn't. Condemnation comes from Satan, but conviction comes from God. Here's the difference between the two. The purpose of conviction is to correct you on a specific issue in order to bring a change in your life, and it is motivated by God's love. Because God loves you, when he sees an area in your life that needs change, a relationship, a habit, an attitude, he will nudge you and say you need to work on this thing that's out of whack in your life. The purpose of condemnation is to criticize and make you feel guilty, usually in a vague way. If you've ever felt guilty but you couldn't point to anything specific, or if you've ever had a feeling of worthlessness, that is condemnation from Satan. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, "There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." God will never attack you. He will never say you're worthless or unlovable. In fact, in Revelation chapter 3 verse 19, God says, "Those whom I dearly and tenderly love, I tell their faults and convict and discipline. So be earnest and repent," changing your mind and attitude. But condemnation is Satan's way of making you feel worse and worse. It doesn't go away even after confession. It's like the American court system. First there's the conviction of a crime in the court, then comes the condemnation or sentencing, which can last for years. God doesn't work that way. In God's justice system, the Holy Spirit convicts us of what's wrong in our life, and we admit it. Jesus pays the condemnation. He serves the punishment for our sin through his death on the cross, and we are free to live the way God created us to live the way Jesus enables us to live. That's the grace of God. The seventh test. God's peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The final test in recognizing God's voice is to ask yourself, do I sense God's peace about it? If you think you've heard from God, it measures up to God's word, you've gotten advice from other people and passed the other tests, but you still feel confused or anxious, then it doesn't pass the seventh test. Why? God is not the author of confusion. So you wait and remain patient until you sense God's peace. God is a perfect father. Parents don't want their kids to feel worried or pressured when they ask him to do something. No, they want their children to feel encouraged. That's the same way God wants to relate to you. He doesn't want you to feel anxiety in anything he asks you to do. The only time a sense of pressure is legitimate is when you keep saying no to God. That is a relational pressure that comes from holding God at arm's length. Satan wants to drive us compulsively in the things we do, but God doesn't work that way. God wants to draw us compassionately. He's the shepherd who wants to lead the sheep. He doesn't drive us. He guides us. And as sheep, we need to listen for his voice. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 describes the attitude you should have when you listen to God's voice. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. It's not just a matter of hearing God's voice. It's also a matter of responding. Hearing is not enough. You have to act as well. The Bible says that God speaks to people who do three things. Listen to this wise advice. Follow it closely, for it will do you good and you can pass it on to others. God speaks to those who listen to what he says, follow it closely, and then pass it on to others.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International.
Visit us at www.thefamily.org.